things before we begin. Yes, on Monday we had the official orientation, not everyone was here. So if you didn't sign up your name and your cell phone, so I'm going to pass it around again. So those that were not here could sign their name and their cell phone. So this way we know who's here, who's not here, where everyone is. Okay. Those that were not here also did not receive the folders. The folders are very important because we don't want this, the whole base medrash to be a mess. So this way we give out the packets, you can put it in a folder, this big 10 by 13, you can take, okay. So we gave out like a whole thing. Usually we give out one at a time, we gave a whole thing here. Okay, those that are looking for chavrusas, please speak to Rabbi Tuchman. Okay, and again, if those that want to learn in the base medrash here are welcome to. If you want to learn someplace else on the planet, you could. But if you want to learn in our base medrash here, you're welcome to. That's the story. So today we're going to have the first shiur, but as our minhag. We start with the niggun. That's why they asked me to sing the niggun in the other base medrash, but we sing it here. Some people think we sing it every day. We don't sing it every day. How am I? But we sing it at the beginning of every zman, or like when we break for sukkahs and we'll come back, then we'll do it again, just to reinvigorate. But, okay, and then we'll go straight to the learning. And we wish everyone siyata d'shmaya. If you think I don't know you yet, please introduce yourself. I'd like to know everybody. That's why we have the names, and so I can put the names with the faces, and we get to know each other. And again, Rabbi Tuchman is here. He is the my right-hand man, sits on the right, and and he helps us with the learning, with all the technical things, chavrusas, seating, anything you need. He's there to help me, to help you. So he's there for all of us. So please avail yourselves to his expertise, both in learning and in Mili Da'alma. Avinu Barachama Avirachem Rachem Aleinu Isen Bilimeinu Vino Leharinu Leaskil Karinu Kavarakaman Hamilachem Rachem Aleinu Isen Bilimeinu Vino Leharinu Lishma Lelmadu Lamei Lishma Lelazos Ulikayim Eskol Yivrei Salmon Tersecha Miyama Lishma Lelmadu Lamei Lishmar Velasos Urikayim Eskol Yivrei Salmud Asecho Biyama Lishma, Lilmadu Lamed, The Torah, we have the packet one. Packet one is named J1. The reason why it's J is because. Yeah. Because I originally gave the Shiurim and the Jun's man that went into till like Tisha B'Av time. So that was the first Madura. And then we added a lot. So that's why it was called J, if you're wondering. So we have J1, J2, J3, but then a lot got added. So then there's supplement to J1 and supplement of the supplement. And the okay, so that's why it's good to keep orderly. Okay, the Torah tells us in Parshas Kedoshim, V'isha sheyishkav is isha dova, V'gila es ervosa es mekora pera, V'gilsa es mekora dama, V'nichosu shneyem mikerev amam. So this is the pasuk of in the Torah of the Isanida, Isha Dova, an unclean lady. But the key thing that the Torah tells us in this pasuk is Es Mikora Hera. Mikor is the uterus. So the uterus is the source of Damnida, of the lining of the uterus. Any place else that the blood will come from that's not Mikora is called Damaka. Even if it's in that general area, in the vaginal area, even if there is a cut in the vaginal wall and it comes out vaginally so it looks like it's Nida, that's not Nida. That's Dam Maka. And Dam Maka is Mutter Lagamre. So that's a very important yisod in Hilchas Nida, that it has to be Dam Min HaMokor. Now, we assume, as we'll see, that a Dam comes out vaginally, there's a Chazakah that it most probably came from the Makor. It most probably came from the Makor, because even though we didn't see it, but you could assume that. You could assume that it came from the Mekor, and then she'll be Tomei. But anything else that's Dam Min HaMekor is Dam Maka and Mutter. No difference than a nosebleed. That a nosebleed is Mutter, so even though it's coming from that general area, but if it didn't come Min HaMekor, she's Muteris Lagamre. And that's Damaka. The one exception to the rule. There's one exception to this whole rule. And that we're going to get to, who knows when, sometime in the future. I don't know which packet number, 47, I don't know. That's Dam Besulim. Hymenal blood. Hymenal blood is a membrane inside the vaginal area, which often gets broken through intercourse, the first intercourse, and then there's blood. So technically speaking, that has nothing to do with Nida, because it's not uterine. It's not Dam Min HaMekor. And therefore, if it's not Dam Min HaMekor, the hymen, just because it's in that area, shouldn't be no different than the nosebleed. I just got a paper cut the other day. Paper cut. The same thing. But Chazal made a din d'rabbanan to treat Dam Besulim like Dam Nida mid'rabbanan. Why they did that, that's a whole separate shir that requires its own hour and a half at least to discuss that. But that's the one exception to the rule. Now, let me tell you just a basic thing. So as I told you, Dam Min HaMekor, that's Nida. If it's not Min HaMekor, it's Dam Maka, and Dam Maka is Mutter Lagamre. It's not even an Issa D'Rabbanan. It's Mutter Lagamre. But a lot of times, how are you going to tell? So if it's the regular flow, so obviously, most probably it's coming that you have the chazaka. But if we have reason to doubt it, say a woman just went to the mikvah two nights ago, and then there's some bleeding. So it could be that's coming from the Makor, but it's a little strange, right? You know, today that so many women are on birth control pills, and so then that takes the whole hormones in the body and it sets it, you know, and so anything can happen to a woman, you know, because once you're tampering with your own body and adding hormones into your body, so then anything can happen. She can become a Nida even, and especially, and this comes all the time, if she forgot to take the pill, or if she took it later than the norm, she's supposed to take it at a certain time, clockwork, and she took it later, or she went away for Shabbos with her husband, and they forgot the pills at home, and they're on a long weekend, so she went 2-3 days without a pill, och and weh, because she's going to start bleeding even when she's not supposed to bleed. And then she's going to... But if we have reason to doubt that anything went wrong and there's still blood, so then what? You could go to... So then we have to check it out, because maybe it's damaka. So how do you check it out? Well, you can make an appointment with your doctor, who will give you an appointment in 2 weeks from now. Well, what's that going to do for you? 2 weeks, you want to know now. You don't want to wait for 2 weeks to get an appointment. So, Baruch Hashem, many communities, including Washington Heights, have women who are nurses or other types of practitioners who are trained to check for makos. Say there's a woman here, Mrs. Debbie Klugman, in Washington Heights, who's a very giving woman, who I call her up, needs somebody who has to be checked out, and if she's not at a wedding or something like that, so say bring her over, and then she'll check her out and see if there's a makos. And then that could save the whole day. Because if without that, you have to treat her like a neder. Say, for example, a couple had intercourse. And after the intercourse, the man found blood on his aver. So then that, as we'll see, could be a neder d'oraisa. That could be a neder d'oraisa. But if it came because there was a cut inside, and that's where the blood is coming from, then she's mutter legamri. It's a big difference between Mutter Lagamre and Anida Daraisa. But we're not going to be able to know that unless we have somebody who could check it. And that's why we have a concept called a bodeket. This is nothing to do, I'm not making comments about your etzah, this, that, there's nothing to do with that. This is bodeket. These are women that are just trained to find makos, to find bruises, or different things that we can attribute that's where the blood comes from. And I have a whole list from anywhere from Washington Heights to Harnov to Chicago, because if people call from all over, so we have to have a woman to send her to. You know, if a woman's calling me from Harnov, I have to tell her. So this is the woman, this is our number in Harnov, and you go to her. And if you're calling from Chicago, and you're calling from Queens, you're calling from wherever, Muncie, Brooklyn, and Baruch Hashem, and us in Washington Heights as well, we have, and they don't charge much, they charge a little bit, but the advantage is, we need the answer right away. We can't be waiting. You know, a doctor could do the same thing, but the doctor will, first of all, charge you a doctor's fee for an appointment, and the doctor is not necessary. I have to have a relationship with a doctor that might take, but in general, that's the advantage of the bodeket, because the bodeket will tell us, is it dam in hamakor, or is it not? So normally we just follow the chazaka, but if we have a reason
to question because it's not the right time or things. As I told you, even if it's not the right time, it still could be Damana Makor because, you know, women have pills and this, and they forgot the pill and this, so it could still be Damana Makor. So, but sometimes it's not. And the only way we'll be able to know that is if we have that woman going ahead and checking out to see what the story is. So that is the Makor of this pasuk. Now, in Chazal, the word for the uterus in the Torah is called the Makor. In the Gemara and the Mishnah, there are different phrases, what we would call synonyms, for the uterus. And they all mean the same thing. And why they have so many different names, maybe we'll see later in the year. One, we'll see, is called the cheder. The cheder, the inner room. One is called the bayis hapnimi. Also, it's the same idea. And another phrase is the kever, because that's where the inner chamber there. So these are all synonyms for the same thing, for the Makor. Now, we're going to see shortly that a woman becomes a nida when the blood leaves the Makor, but it happens internally. In other words, she becomes a nida even before the blood comes what? Comes out to Avir Ha'olam. She's a nida internally. So usually it comes out of her uterus, then it comes into the vaginal canal, and then it comes out Lavir Ha'olam. But when did she become a nida al-pidin? She becomes a nida al-pidin when it comes out of the uterus. Even when it's still inside the body. Even inside what we call when it comes from the bayis hapnimi lebayis hachitzel. She's a nida. Now, we're going to have a shiur number, I don't know, 62, a chveis, to tell you exactly when it happens. Because you have to know that the way I'm not an artist. There's a doctor in Brooklyn called Dr. Norman Fertel, who I'm very close with. He made a a little thing of the uterus. A model of the uterus. Maybe one day I'll... So the way the uterus works is you have the uterus here, and then you have the opening of the uterus. This is the uterus. And then the opening of the uterus is the cervix. So you have the uterus, the cervix, and then the vaginal canal, and then the world. So the question is, we'll see, again, we're going to have a whole shiur on this, at what point does she become a nida? In other words, nida means the lining of the uterus shed, and now the blood comes out. So at which point specifically did she become a nida? When it comes from the uterus to the cervix over here? Is this the point that she becomes a nida? Or does she become a nida only when it leaves the cervix area and it comes into the vaginal canal? That's a whole discussion in the poskim. at what specific point does she become an Ida? This is called the internal us, the external us. In other words, the internal us is the divider between the uterus and the cervix, and the external us is the divider between the cervix and the vaginal canal. And there's a whole debate in the poskim at what point she becomes an Ida. Now let me tell you something very clearly. If the cervix itself bleeds, that's called dam nida. Dam nida has to come from the uterus, but the question is, at what point does she become an Ida? Does it become when it goes from the uterus into this area, or into this area? But it has to be the blood from the uterus. See, if the blood came from the cervix, even according to the opinion that you become an Ida when it comes into the to the cervix, that's only the uterine blood that came into the cervix area. But the blood from the cervix itself has blood that it could bleed. But that blood is damaka. That's the kuli alma damaka. Now, let me just point out another point. What's the point of having this whole big discussion? You know, is it so important to know exactly at what point, you know, so it is, because we have to know, when is she an Ida? So practically, it doesn't make so much of a difference. It's a question of a half a second, did she become an Ida? Because how long is it going to take to go from here, so either here or here? Like a fraction of a second. So it's not such a lemaisa discussion to know exactly when she, at what point did she become an Ida. I mean, unless the blood just stayed here and somehow never made it there, which is usually not so practical. Where this question came up, and as Rav Shechter mentioned it, is in the famous tshuva, and we're going to have, again, I'm 30 steps ahead of myself here, but just, you know, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, he wrote a famous tshuva many years ago. It was printed in Noah. Noam was a Torah journal that came out many volumes. It doesn't come out anymore. Rav Kasher was the editor of Noam. Kasher lived here in the West Side, Torah Shlema, Rav Kasher. So he was a big writer. Not only the Torah Shlema, but he wrote a lot of interesting things on a lot of different topics. Yeah, Erevin, the Manhattan Erev, he wrote a whole book on that. He wrote what Adam al Hayareach. He wrote about the Dateline. He wrote a whole lot of interesting, things. So there is a whole sugya that we're going to hopefully learn later about Dam Bishvoferes. On Chafalef and Nida. And that's, you see, there is always a discussion about the women who have fertility problems because of Hilchos Nida. Because Hilchos Nida, as we learned, is going to be 12 days where the couple can't cohabit together. And if the ovulation is happening then, there's going to be a problem for her to get pregnant. So there's a lot to talk about that. So Rav Shlomo Zalman had an Eitza based on the Gemara. And that is, the halacha is, if the dam came out of the uterus, but it never came in to the cervix or the vaginal canal, but it went straight out, you made a tube, you put a tube into the woman, so the blood went from the uterus into the tube and outdoors. So it never landed on the basar of the cervix or the vaginal canal. Then it could be, according to some shita, she's not an Ida. And then she wouldn't have to wait, the requisite day. So you could have a way of subverting the whole Hilchos Nida. Now, obviously, that's not something we do, but you wanted to do it only in a situation where women were not being able to get pregnant. So what he had to know is specifically where to put the tube. Because if you put the tube, say, only to the mouth of the cervix, but you hold the became damnit already in the cervix, it's too late. She became damnit in the cervix. If you hold that she only becomes damnit in the vaginal canal, so all you had to make sure is to put the tube over here, so go into this from the cervix right into the tube, and never touch the vaginal canal, so she won't become an ida. But if you hold that she becomes an ida when the blood goes into the cervix, so then he had to make sure to put the tube right at the mouth of the internal os from the uterus, right in and so for him, for that discussion, that was very important to know exactly, because if you put it a little bit further out from where it is, too late. He missed the whole boat. So, for that Eitzah, it was very important to know. Now, needless to say, like anything in this world, that caused a big stir in the halakhic community. This Eitzah. And I don't know if in the end it was ever really used, but this is the famous, his famous tshuva. We'll have a packet in the tshuva, seeing that tshuva. But just to give you the idea of what the idea is. So let's take a look in the Mishnah on page 2 on Yud Zayin Amud Beis. Yes.
Everyone agree though that if for some reason the blood did not the blood has to leave the uterus, but the question is, does everyone agree, I guess, if it just leaves the uterus and doesn't, it has to touch either one of those locations, everyone agrees about that? And there's
meaning, the question is whether the din of Ro Adamus Roferis is said even by the natural blood, or only if you caused it with the... So not everyone's going to agree to this anyway, but...
So before the dam gets into the cervix, and she's not a neither yet.
Right.
And then even if it...
That's the question, whether it's the cervix...
Even if it emanated from the walls of the uterus...
Right. That's the question, whether it's the cervix. In other words, what's the internal... Us, right? Is this the cutoff point or the external us? In other words, because basically the cervix is the mouthpiece of the uterus. Then the vaginal canal is a separate thing. In other words, if you ever see Dr. Fertel's model, you'll see the cervix is like a little, it's a womb. Thing, and then there's a mouth to it. The mouth of the uterus is the cervix. So that's the question. When the Torah says you need dam in hamakor, but it has to come out of the makor. In other words, the dam in the makor itself is not nida until it comes out. The chiddush is she's even a nida before it goes out la avira olam, before it ends up on her garment. She's a nida internally. But what's the exact cutoff point? Is it when it passes the internal os? That's the demarcation between the uterus and the cervix, or is it between when it leaves the cervix into the vaginal canal? That's when she becomes an eder. That's going to be a machlokus in the post. But Rav Shlomo Zalman's idea was that if you get the tube based on that gemara, if you get the tube to catch the blood before it got into the next stage and it went and it never landed on the basar of the cervix or on the basar of the vaginal canal, maybe she won't be in need at all.
That's what Shlomo Zalman make a little machmir on that as to where to place the
So when we learn that sugya, we'll see exactly that. You'll remember now, when months from now, when we actually get to the sugya be'in, because it's a whole sugya, it's a whole shir, it's a whole pattern. So I'm just giving you Rashi Prakim, but then you'll see exactly what poskim say what on that. Okay, so let's look at the Mishnah Nida on page 2 of Yud Zayin Amud Beis. Yeah. Moshel Moshlu Chachamim Be'isha. The Chachamim gave a Moshel of the woman's body. And they basically compared the woman's body to a house. Cheder, Prozdor, Va'aliyah. The cheder is the inner room. The prozdor is the hallway leading into the inner room. And the aliyah is the attic. And a woman's body of that area is compared to these three things. The cheder, the prozdor, and the aliyah. Now the cheder is the womb. That's the makor. The prozdor is the hallway. Now, we're going to have a discussion later to know what do they mean by the prozdor. Is it the cervix is the prozdor or the vaginal canal is the prozdor? So that's going to be a discussion. But it's the outer area. And then the aliyah, as some say, I think in the art school, has the urethra or the bladder or something like that. And that's the source of, you know, some damakas, etc. So he says like this: Dam hacheder tamei. The dam of the cheder, meaning the dam from the uterus, from the makor, is tamei. Again, only when it comes out. Dam ha'aliyah tahor. But if the blood is coming from the aliyah, from the attic, which some learn is the bladder or the urethra, you know, like some women have a urinary tract infection or something like that. So it's coming from there. So that's damaka. Nimsa the prozdor sveiko tamei v'hishechaskoso min hamakor. In other words, but if you have blood, again, there's a question what the prozdor is. Is it the cervix or is it the vaginal canal? That's a machlokes. But wherever it is, if you find blood there, it's a chazaka that it came from the uterus. And then she's talking. Now, like everything else in life, a chazaka means I don't know for sure. So they have a chazaka. But if you know for sure that it's not the case, like you find dam in the cervix or in the vaginal canal, and it's found that because the vaginal canal itself is bleeding, the basar of the vaginal canal itself, or the basar of the cervix itself, it's bleeding. So then that's damaka. So we say when you so, but normally we assume that there was dam there. Most probably, the normal way of life is that it comes from the uterus, and the blood that's found in the cervix or in the vaginal canal came from the uterus. So that's why it's called a chazaka. Chazaka means we don't know for sure, but that's the probability. That's the probability. That's what a chazaka is. But just like any chazaka, chazaka is a probability, and therefore, if we find out otherwise, we find out otherwise that that's not the case, then she would be tahar. For example, certain women, like say during pregnancy, the cervix, what's called a friable cervix, it becomes a certain texture that in itself bleeds. The basar of the cervix itself bleeds, so that's damaka, etc.
Is there ever a time where we assume that if there's blood, let's say we find on the wall of the cervix, that the cervix wall is bleeding, are we ever concerned about the fact that it might be mixed also with the blood from the uterus as well, or if we see a cut in the cervix or the vaginal canal, and that's it, we just assume it's only from there?
Right. So that could be a question of like Ronnie mentioned about what time of the month it is. In other words, right? Sometimes there could be maka, but there could also be uterine blood also, but. But a good bodeca or a good doctor could see also what's going on in certain situations. Okay, so this is the this is how it works. And if you look in the Rambam on page 3, Perikei Halacha Beis. Kol Anoshim Mistamos Bebayis Achitzon. There's all women are B'tamei Bebayis Achitzon, meaning when the blood comes into the Bayis Achitzon, they're Tamei. So that's the question. Is the Bayis Achitzon, that's the big machlokis. Is the Bayis Achitzon the cervix or is it the vaginal canal? That's always going to be a machlokis. Who the play? Usually I don't even discuss this till Shear 63 or whatever. But, you know, that's the way it came out today. You know, but this is a yesod of, again, normally it doesn't make such a big difference, only if you actually see the dam inside, which usually the dam inside is going to eventually make it to the vaginal canal. But the big dapkamina would be for Rav Shlomo Zalman's thing, where how far up does he have to put the tube to do it. Va'avo pi shelo yotza hadam l'chutz el nekar min arechem. So it's even though the blood didn't come out yet, out to the world, nekar min arechem, it came out of the womb, the lo shosos, and it didn't pour out, it didn't drip out. Hol v'yotza mibein hashinayim harezet tameya. So once it comes mibein hashinayim. Now, Kwev, that's the question. What is mibein hashinayim? Is it the internal us? Or is it the external us? That's the question. So that's going to be a debate in the Achronim of what it means. But it has to come. There's some demarcation point where the blood has to pass that demarcation point to become a nida. So that, again, will be a discussion. Again, there's going to be a discussion in the Chasam Sofer and the Beis, you know, the Gedolei Achronim are going to deal with this, trying to bring rayas from the Rishonim of where that point is. Again, in a normal situation, it's a question of a fraction of a second of when she becomes a nida, so it's not so important to know.
I guess the big machmira, at least theoretically, is if she touched Taharos.
Yeah, right. I mean, the Bisman that they... Today, Hilchas Nida is only relevant for marital relations. Bisman Chazal, Hilchas Nida, was for everything. You had to know. I mean, you have to realize that Bisman Chazal, Nida was a public thing. When a woman was a Nida, she wore special big day Nidus. So she announced it to the whole world. She's a Nida. Today, it's a very private thing. Because you had to know, if a woman sat on the chair, now the chair's tummy, you can't sit on this chair. Because you're going to become tummy if you sit on the chair. You want to eat kodshim tonight in the Beis HaMikdash. You can't eat something there. You have to bring the chair to the mikveh. Because the chair... So therefore, you see, the idea being, Nida then had nothing, was not only about marital relations. So therefore, it wasn't such a private thing. Because today, it's all about intimacy, which is a private thing, so the whole Nida became a private thing. The woman doesn't announce to the world that she's a Nida. Bisman Chazal, a woman became a Nida, she wore special big day Nidas, she announced it to the world. Everyone had to know, this woman is a Nida. It wasn't a private, thing. Afal pi shaday hadam bepsara. Shenem adam yezova bepsara. Okay, v'adheichan hu bein hashinayim, then he tries to tell you where the bein hashinayim is. Again, that we're going to leave that for a separate shir. He says, ad mokam sheyagia elav ha'ever b'shas gemar b'ya. Hu bein hashinayim atzmo kilifnim. In other words, wherever the as is, that area is. So the question is, what the demarcation point itself, is it part of lufnim or part of lachutz? Because once it leaves, that itself takes up a little space, the Bein HaShinayim. So it has to cross over the Bein HaShinayim. But what about the Bein HaShinayim itself? Bein HaShinayim itself is lufnim. Okay. So that's the definition. That is the definition of nida. Here, take a look in Halacha Hay now, Perkei Halacha Hay in the Rambam. Dam habam min acheder kulo tamei chutz midam tohar shatora tirasho. In other words, there's a concept of dam tohar when a woman gives birth. So there's a time that she's tohar, even if she has dam, which b'zmanazeh we don't follow. Okay, we'll get to that. The dam ha'aliyah kulo tohar. Dam ha'aliyah means if the blood comes from like a urinary tract infection or something like that, then that's tohar. Shehu kemo dam maka. Shebimayam u'mekoved u'mekuli v'chayotze behem. So any dam maka is tohar. The dam nimtza beprozdor, in nimtza min halul v'lefnim harizat tomei shechaskoso min hacheder. Okay, so that's the idea. Okay, so that's the first basic idea to Hilchas Nida. Is dam min ha-makor. Then we have another pasuk in Parshas Metzora on page 6. Ve'isha ki siya zava dam ye zava b'psora shivas yomim tiye benidasa v'chol hogeya v'yit ma'ad arv. So this is the talking about a woman who's in Nida. And Rashi says in Chumash, "Ktiyazova yochol me'echad mikol eivarim." Talmud over, "Fi gilsas mekor dameh ein dam etameh el abam min ha'mekor." So the same idea. It has to be what the pasuk we quoted before. In other words, Rashi is referring back to the pasuk here in Kedoshim, as Mekora, because here it doesn't say where's the dam coming from. So you have to rely back on the pasuk that we learned before that has to become min haMekor. And it has to dam yezova bipsara. Has to be Bipsara. So the Gemara says on page 7 in Nun Zayin Amud Beis, so this is a very fundamental part of Hilchas Nida. Amar Shmuel Bodka Karka Olam. Meaning, a woman wants to sit down on the grass. So she checks it before, you know, whenever you sit down on something, you check where you're sitting. So she checks it, looks good. The Yashva Aleha. And then she sits down, and she has a picnic. She has a sandwich, whatever. And then she gets up. Umatza Dam Aleha. Tahora. And then, lo and behold, she looks up and there's a pool of blood on the ground where she sat. You know, in those days, there wasn't undergarments like we have today. So, if a woman had some type of cloak of sorts, and she sat down, so if she would bleed, it would go on the ground. Yeah, but in other words, we'll see. The reality is that it wasn't necessarily like that. We'll have to see about what you're talking about. Shenema bips. So obviously she didn't know about it, right? And all of a sudden she gets up,
from after she finishes her sandwich, and lo and behold, there's blood. So what's the story? Is she an Ida? What's the story? So the Gemara says, Tahora. She's Tahora. Now, where in the world did the blood come from? Obviously, it came from her, because she was bought Kakarka Olam. She checked it. It wasn't there from before, right? So it came from her. But obviously, she knew nothing about it. She knew nothing about it till she got up and saw it. So the Gemara Darshans, she's Tahora Shenebe Bipsora and Shetagish Bipsora. That the Gemara has a Chiddush here. Without this Gemara, we would never know such a Chiddush. And like Rabbi Gedalia Berger once said to me, you know, until Shmuel came along in the Mishnah, you never found such a Chiddush. And that is, the Chiddush is, that even though the blood maybe came from the uterus, and it all alahidurim, it passed into the cervix, it passed into the vaginal canal, choladeus, and then it came out lavi haolam, choladeus, mahadrin mina mahadrin, but she didn't feel anything. Tahora, she's not a nida. Wow. And they learn it out from that word, bipsara. Bipsara means a chetagish bipsara. She has to have a hargasha. She has to have a hargasha. And if she didn't have a hargasha, she's not a nida. So that is the second part of the fundamental definition of chokas nida. You need the riyas dam, but you also need a hargasha. And ha below ha lo sahi. That if you don't have both, you don't have the. In other words, if you have dam, but it didn't come from the Makor, so there's nothing to talk about. So the AB style base is first it has to come from the Makor. But even if it came from the Makor, if there was no Hargasha, then she's not Anita. And that's the Gemara over here. Isha Shabbatka Karka Olam. She was Bodik the Karka Olam. And V'yashvala Matadam Tahora. So the Gemara asks Akasha, Hag Mipsorim Broilei Shemitam Bifnim Kibachutz. Don't we need that Mipsora to teach me that Mipsora Pashtas means that when the blood came out of the uterus, it has to touch the basar of the cervix or the vaginal canal. That's the first halacha. The basar, it has to touch the basar of the cervix or the vaginal canal, whichever one. So how can you tell me basar teaches you hargasha? So the Gemara says, you can't lay me call a basar. If it would just teach me that it has to touch the vaginal canal or the cervix, it could have said the basar. My dipsara, the extra hay, teaches me another halach. Shmamina ashetagish dipsara. Okay, so this is the second basic yisod in Hilchas Nida, that it's not enough dam in a makor, you need a hargasha, and without a hargasha, she's not a nida. And again, this is a very big chiddush, because you're saying that you know there's this added requirement, and this pashut is this added requirement is a din d'oraisa, and she wouldn't be a nida if she doesn't have this added requirement. Now we're going to see later that the Gemara is going to tell us that even though you need a hargasha, but midrabanan, even without a hargasha, she's tameh. And that's the concept of a kesem or moral summon, stains. That if she has a stain, this happens all the time. A woman looks at her undergarment, and lo and behold, there's blood, and she had no clue. So there's a stain. So there was no hargasha, but there's a stain.
So Chazal said that you're right. Midaraisa, she's not a nida, but midrabanan she is. And then since it's only derabanan, we're going to have several kulas about this din derabanan. But midaraisa, if there's no hargasha, there's no dam in a makor, and there's no hargasha, she's muteris legam. Yeah,
Shimon. Seemingly, according to Shmuel this, he would basically be saying that basically it doesn't really make this, the hargasha doesn't matter for you because the hargasha is.
No. Well, let me say something. Let me say something. In other words, even if there's no hargasha, there's still an iser derabanan.
That's what I'm saying.
There's still an iser derabanan. But Rav Shlomo Zalman's point was that if it never touched the cervix or the vaginal canal, then there's no even din derabanan. You understand? In other words, a kesem means that it came out regular, went through, but you didn't feel it. You didn't feel it. So you didn't have hargasha, but it still. In other words, the first thing is you need the blood to come out of the uterus and touch either the cervix or the vaginal canal, whichever sheet it is. That's the first thing you need. And the second thing you need is you have to have some type of sensation, the hargasha. We will have to define great lengths what the hargasha is that you need. But you need that. But if you don't have hargasha, it's still a kesem midrabanan, but it's only considered a kesem if it's dam min hamakor that went out into the cervix on the vaginal canal, and then you just didn't have a hargasha. But if it didn't even, Shlomo Zalman's chiddush was that if you have the tube, it doesn't never even touch the cervix for that. That's not even a kesem. Because there, the chisaron is not that there wasn't a hargasha, the chisaron was there was no riyas dam. See, so that's the two things you need. You need a riyas dam, and you need a hargasha. Now, for riyas dam, there are two things. It has to come min hamakor, and it has to go bibsara. It has to touch the basar, which means either the cervix, the wall of the cervix or the wall of the vaginal canal. And that's what nida is. But if you only have one and you don't have two, then it's only drabanan. And if you don't even have one, because even though the dam came from the makor, but it never touched the basar, it never touched the basar of the cervix or the vaginal canal, then it's nothing. You didn't get anything. Okay, so that's the story here. Now, we're not gonna, usually the first day I never finish the first packet because I'm, getting, it's the excitement of the first day. So we'll come back on Monday, we'll finish it. But I want to tell you one more thing. There was going to be an in-depth discussion of what exactly is a hargasha. Because that's very important to know. Does hargasha mean a cramp? Does it mean another type of sensation? What exactly...
Can it happen during sleep?
Can it happen during sleep, right? Exactly. Well, what is a hargasha? And that's very important because that makes the whole world of difference between the Rais or the Rabban. But there's another discussion before we get to that.
If she has
Hargasha and no Riyas Dam, that's going to be a discussion also. So everything is going to be a discussion. So the Pashup Shat, you say, if there's Hargasha without Riyas Dam, then what? What are you going to tell me? And of course, it's nothing because if there's no Riyas Dam, what are we talking about? No. But you'll see, the Truma Sadeshin explains that a woman who has a hargasha doesn't have a riyas dam could still be tamei. You know why? The same idea. They didn't have underwear. So she's wearing, she has a hargasha, she's wearing a cloak, and then she doesn't see the riyas dam, but that could just mean because it fell on the floor when she was walking in the street 2 miles ago. You see, today, it's not going to go anywhere. Any riyas dam is going to be collected. It's not going to escape into the. But then, the question is, the discussion of the Truma Sedeshit is going to be if a woman has a hargasha but she didn't see dam, so the Truma Sedeshit is going to suggest that maybe she's still tummy, because if there's hargasha, most probably there was dam. Yeah. But today we don't have such a thing so much. Rav Tzinner writes about it because Lamaisa, if she has a hargasha and there's no riyas dam, I mean, of course you need dam. Everyone agrees you need dam. You can't become a nida without dam. But the only thing is, without riyas dam means we didn't find it. But today there's no such thing as not finding. Because we have a different system of how we wear clothing. So it can't disappear into yonder. Then, if a woman, you know, the old Roman attire, you know, you had these cloaks and you didn't have anything else, so then something could drop out of your body and just drop on the floor. And then, so you had a hargasha, so there was probably a riyas dam. Where is it? Go check 2 miles. Check your steps. So 2 miles ago, maybe you'll find it in the grass. So 2 miles back. Okay. Now, there is a discussion. You know, I'm not from the big Hakira people, unless you have to say it. There is a discussion, and what is the idea of Hargasha? Is a Hargasha just to know that the blood came from her? And therefore, if we would know that it came from her without the Hargasha, that would be just as good? Well, no! Hargasha is a separate requirement. And even though we know the blood is coming from her, there's still a requirement of having a Hargasha, and if there was no Hargasha, she's not an either. That's the question. You hear the question? What we call a simen, what some call a simen or a siba. Is it a simen that it's coming from her, or is it a separate requirement? So, the Ramban, on page 8. Vafilu biyadua shemigufa chazoi, Dvar Torah Tahora. In other words, even though we know that it's coming migufa, we know it, we see it. But she didn't have that hargasha. Dvar Torah, as far as the Torah is concerned, Tahora. She's Torah. Now, if you look on page 9 in the Tosas Rid, Amar Shmuel Batka Karka Olam Yashva Lev Matzah Dam Tar Shadam Basara Shatagish Rafka in Hirgisha Vyatsa Vyada Shadam Chayatsa Adam Mibsara Azhi Temeya Avam in Lo Hirgisha Shayatsa Mibsara Don shenimtza adam bekarka tahorahi. The aim of a batka yafa. In other words, the way some explain this Tosas Rid is that no hargasha is just a way of knowing that it came from you. In other words, what's the whole idea that it's lo hirgisha? Because if it's lo hirgisha, so then maybe it didn't come from her. Ah, you looked, but maybe you didn't look good enough. So the Tosis is learning, the way some explain, Rabbi Yosef, others, the way some explain, is that Hagasha is just a way of verifying that it came from you, from the woman. But if we know that it came from you, otherwise, like, say, Bizman Azeh, a woman has an undergarment, right? So, and she sees blood, but she didn't have a Hagasha. But of course it came from her. Of course it came from her. Where else did it come from? See, by the karka, you could say, you know, maybe she didn't check good enough. You could say the same thing by a beggar. But the point he's saying is, the whole point of a hargosha, it's not a separate requirement. It's in order to verify that it came from her. But if I know it came from her, even though there was no hargosha, it's also tummy. Why tahorah? There was no hargosha. Because to Ema lo batka yafe, because maybe she wasn't batka yafe, and it really was there from before, on the karka, not from her. But if there's hargasha, then obviously it came from her. So it comes out the way some point out a fundamental machlokas between the Ramban and the Tosis Rid, whether hargasha is a separate requirement. Or is Hargasha just a way of verifying that it came from her? But if you know it came from her, even without a Hargasha, you don't need the Hargasha. Hargasha is just a way of verifying. So that's a big difference in halacha of what the point of a Hargasha is. There is a tshuva on page 10. The Maram Lublin wrote a tshuva. Who's the Maram Lublin? So Ram Lublin is our good friend from the back of the Gemara on the bottom of the Marsha. The Maram, he's our good friend. He's our good friend because he's much easier to understand than the Marsha. Marsha is one of the hardest Mefarshim to understand. That's why the Chazanish writes, in this generation people are lazy, they don't learn Marsha because they're lazy and they don't have a Melus Batorah. That's the famous letter of the Chazanish. But the Maram, he's an easier person to follow. But he wrote tshuvas, called Tshuva of the Maram Lublin. Now this tshuva is written, look at this tshuva, it's very exciting. Ya yifei pritar, karasi l'shimcha uvi ha'olof ram, ha'omed l'nesa amim, morena rav Yeshaya Segel. Who was that? Who was he writing the tshuva to? Who's your Yeshaya Segel? The Shalah HaKadosh. Mamish, writing a tshuva to the Shalah HaKadosh. Because, you know, my friend Rabbi David Horowitz, one of my colleagues, the Rosh Hashiva here, Rabbi David Horowitz, is, well, if you're a real Horowitz and you're a Levi, usually you're a descendant from the Shalah HaKadosh. And he's, Rabbi David Horowitz is a Levi, and he's a Horowitz, descendant of the Shalah HaKadosh. Segel, Skan LeKahuna, right? He's a descendant. So Rabbi Shai Segel, who's the Shalah HaKadosh. So the Maram Lublin is writing a tshuva to the Shalah HaKadosh. That's not a pasha thing, to write a tshuva to the Shalah HaKadosh. And the Shalah HaKadosh obviously asked him the shaila. So that shows the, you know, Shalah HaKadosh is not going to just ask anyone in the street a shaila. You know, Shalah HaKadosh, you know. He said, look, in the library we have the nice printing of the Shalah HaKadosh, the five big red volumes. And then the Shalah Ala Torah. You have to know how to navigate the Shalah. That's a whole other thing in life, how to navigate the five things in the Shalah. But okay, that's up for Hashadarash Meiti Aldas Mashakotsal Postim, Shedvar Torah, Ain Ishimatam of Lawsul Baila, and Shetagi Shayotsadab Ibsara. Is this din of Hargasha mean, even if the Isha Yodas Bebirur, in other words, she knows it's from her. In other words, she was, or today it's even more, we have underwear. So it's mamish, you know, it's bodok, it's clean underwear. And then she woke up. She knew a mishnasa. She got up. Motzis dinim, stina mulach lach b'dam. So where else do you think it came from? but she didn't feel anything. So do we still say she's tahora? What do we say? No, there's no special din of hargasha. Hargasha is just to verify it came from her. But if I know it came from her, I don't need hargasha. Or no, or do we say you still require hargasha? That is the fundamental question that the Shalach HaKadosh asked the Maharam Lublin.
So that's totally in the
Machlokas, and the Rambam, yeah, it's rich. Right, exactly. So the Maharam Lublin here is not here to tell us it's totally in the Machlokas. He's here to tell us, so who do we pass? You know, you could say it's a Machlokas, but now, write a tshuva. The person who gets the tshuva doesn't want to know it's a Machlokas. So what's the bottom line? So he's going to paskin that the bottom line is the Maharam Lublin, that hargasha is a separate requirement. That even that's the cool. That even though I know it's vade from her, but if there was no hargasha, then she is tahora midaraisa.
What's the
svara? It's gzeiros hakasev. You want to give svaras? I can give svaras. You know, maybe the Torah, you know, derachad darchei noam. But if the Torah is going to make a woman a nida that she doesn't know about it, to machshel her. So it could be someone says that's svaras. So it makes sense that you should only have the din nida if you have the knowledge that you're a nida. Or else she won't know she's a nida, and then she'll be nechshel.
Well, don't we say?
No, the Avil. Halacha Kedivrei HaMeikel v'Avil. The Nida, we don't say that. Nida, Fakir. Nida is an Issacharis. And so he quotes a Rambam. Look at the Rambam Perek Tes. So let's see this Rambam, Hilchos Yisuri Bia, Perek Tes. There we go. Page 12 in the packet.
Halacha Aleph. Ein ha'isha mitama min ha'torah benida obziva asher targish v'tira dam v'yatsu v'psara k'mo shebiyarnu.
Say a woman wasn't margish. She wasn't margish.
Ubotka umotza dam lifnim beprozdor.
She wasn't margish, but she takes a cloth, she goes inside, she does a bedika, and lo and behold, there's blood. So you can assume that there was a hargasha. So the Maram Lublin asks, why does the Rambam have to say that? Once you did a bedika and you found it inside, you know it's vade migufa. So why does he have to say, oh, it's a chazaka shabab hargasha? Even if it's not a chazaka shabab hargasha, but it's vade migufa. So by the fact that the Rambam says that even when it's vada migufa, it's still not good enough. We still have to say that it was a chazaka, that there must have been a hargasha. And therefore, says the Maram Lublin, you see from this Rambam that hargasha is an absolute requirement, and that you can look here on page in the back in the Shalach HaKadosh, in the Maram Lublin, who's writing the tshuva to the Shalach HaKadosh here on page 10 on the bottom left corner. V'chein mash medivei Rambam Hilchos Yisuri Bia shekosov eina isha metamim min haTorah benida obziva ad shetagish v'tira dam v'yotza mibsara k'mo shebiyarnu v'lo yigishu bako motza adam l'fnim v'farizu v'chazaka shebo b'agosha reilu ha behedet shelo kosov shi temeya el v'tam da reihu v'chazaka shebo b'agosha v'lo havi b'agosha ha'isa tahorah. So that's his
That's his raya. That's his raya.
Doesn't the Rambam kind of negate the whole point? Because he says there's a chazaka. He says there's a chazaka. She sees blood and she felt it at some point.
Right.
So then who cares? There's always a chazaka according to the Rambam.
If you find the dam inside.
Don't even find it inside.
Right. Okay, so that's how we normally assume. Rav Shechter quotes in his Sefer of Rav Soloveitchik that he was machmir, you know, that even that if it's vade migufa to be machmir even without, you know, so to treat that always like a deraisa. So that's why, you know, I think sometimes he would send these hilchos nidashilas to other people, because if you have that approach, that if even it's vade migufa, then everything is a deraisa, then there's not too many room for kulus. So we assume normally that, like this Maram Lublin, and like the Ramban. I mean, the Tosas Rid, as if you know in Halacha, like Rav Shechter points out, the Tosas Rid is always the one who says the Chidushim. And the Tosas Rid usually doesn't, it's not the person who makes it into Shulchan Aruch so much. It's always interesting, keeps life interesting to see what the Tosas Rid has to say. But Lagabe Halacha, the Rambam and the Ramban, you know, are much more people that we pasta like over that. So that's the general idea. Okay, so what we discussed today, Rabosai, is the definition of Nida, Dam and Amokar, coming out, at what point, Machlovis Achronim, we'll have to get to, and then the concept of Hargosha, and then the discussion is Hargosha verification, that it was Vada Migufa, or is it a separate requirement, Ramban, Tosus Rid, and the Maram Lubin's Raya from the Rambam. Bez Hashem, on Monday, Bez Hashem, will continue in this packet to discuss the various opinions to what is exactly a Hargosha, etc. So we didn't finish, but it's still good. Okay, so Rabosai, again, if you didn't get a folder, please take a folder. If you need a folder, if you need to speak to Rabbi Tuchman about Tavrusas or anything, please speak to Rabbi Tuchman. If there's anything you need, please let us know. If you want to learn in this space measures, you're also welcome. So, okay, so today is that's the first shiur, and Bez Hashem, we should have many shiurim, habayim, aleinu, latova.